Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen.
You're Neil.
Here we are. Another show. And today we're talking about whose voice, or asking, whose voice are we hearing? WHOSE, whose voice are we hearing? And taking your calls for on-air readings. We do have some callers in the queue. So thanks for joining us, callers. We do invite you to listen to our conversation. We get to our callers normally at about 15 to 20 minutes after our conversation. So after our conversation completes, that is. So we're going to be getting to you shortly. We would like it if you would hold your place in the queue so the queue doesn't get jumbled. It makes it easier to take calls. We do take calls in the order they are received. So it's a good idea to keep your place in line. We invite callers and listeners to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under Blog Talk Radio profile. And the number for guests to call in today, 914-338-0164. And the number to call after the show, 562-596-7818. So that's what you do for more conversation after the show. Where did we leave off, Neil, on Wednesday? I believe it was we were talking about the different ways that psychic information can come in, or just information that is related to our own thoughts versus the psychic data, the data that comes from our souls, from past lives and things like that, and then information from higher guides and angels. And I think where we left off, there was a little misunderstanding at the end of the show when I started talking about, I think the words I used were mundane information that angels transmit. What I was trying to say was not that angels give mundane information, but when you're dealing with people that are talking about channeling information from a spirit group, spirits or angels, one must be very careful in believing that that information is truly coming from spirits or angels. And the reason why is that if angels and spirits are using a human being as a channel, the information, the core of the information, is going to be from a higher divine spiritual essence than just related to what's going on in the planet, how people survive in the world, manifesting. I mean, that information can be parts of information that come through on that level. And obviously, Neil, when you are doing readings with people, angels will come in and help you with the desires of those that are seeking assistance. So they may be, you know, desires related to career or job or family or finding a partner, but your essence is of a higher spiritual nature. So there's always that in place, but we have to really question if angels, people that are claiming to talk to angels, and are really doing so when the core of what they're speaking about has nothing to do with spirituality at all. Manifesting is not anything to do with spirituality directly.
No, that's correct. The aspect of the physicality of the body and the physicality of the mind, the physicality of the ego, if you will, all of those things are still very important because we're here on the planet. We have a certain agenda we have to work through. And of course, we have every right to aspire to be the best we can be and to acquire as much as we can, all that. But the divine information that comes from an angelic source is not about the things that are of the earth.
Right. They're not coming down to our level. I mean, we're trying to aspire to their level. We're on the planet because of karma.
Well,
and a problem with a vibration in the astral realm. That's why we come down to earth. We don't choose to come down here to experience earth. It's karma that brings us down here.
Right. The domain of angelic energy is not, You're not going to die and bring with you what you've acquired. You're not going to bring your homes. You're not going to bring your careers. You're not going to bring your riches. You're not even going to bring the best creative works you've done. They're not going up there with you. They're staying down here. And that's your record down here. When an angel speaks to a human being coming from their domain, they aren't really speaking of the things of the earth, which are fine, they have their place, but they're not really speaking of that. And pure messages from the angelic realm, angels don't come down to deliver earthly messages in that regard. What angels do is they come down to speak to the spirit and the soul about what treasures one is storing in the higher realm. And those fruits of the spirit are going to be love, compassion, sacrifice, it's spirituality in the sense of belief and faith, good works in the form of the spirit, not in the form of the ego. And so the ultimate truth of a person who's confessing to be hearing angels.
Professing
to be hearing, thank you, to be hearing angels is.
Or spirits.
Or spirits. Well, some spirits, there are spirits that are involved. I mean, there is the spirit guides for many professions and many things about the earth.
Right, but I think in this context, we're talking about, you know, there are numerous quote unquote spiritual leaders that profess to speak to groups of angelic beings or spirit beings, and there's, you know, maybe some of them have several books, tapes, do lectures. You know, it's a big moneymaker for them, in fact. And so looking for that spiritual content, that spiritual essence with thread within the work, I mean, that's what you need to do first.
Yeah,
if it's not,
I mean,
there,
if it's coming from your angel or spirit guide, it's not ultimately going to be about what you acquire on the planet and how you can aspire to get things on the planet.
And it's not to say that, you know, the information isn't inspiring on some level, or there's some content about maintaining a healthy, positive vibration that is valuable. But to say it's coming from a group of angels or spirits is a misnomer. That's not accurate. It's not representing the spiritual realm properly.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. When we get into the idea of the self and the individual self, which you and I both have great gratitude and admiration for, we do consider the individual self and the creativity of the being. But,
yeah, we have those aspects in ourselves, but the first thing in our lives is spirit. I mean, that's what comes first for us, not our, you know, glorifying our egos.
Yeah, the spirit form, when angels come to really speak to a human being and talk about the domains of the spirit, you're not going to hear much about what it is you want or desire.
Right, and how to get it.
Not good consideration. If you're going to be talking about angels, you're going to be talking about the substance of the spirit and perhaps the substance of the soul in connection to how the soul is cooperating with the spiritual realm while the body is on the earth.
Right.
And all three are sort of within the human content. So the purity of an angelic conversation, it's got a whole different vocabulary. You're not going to hear about desire. You're not going to hear about want. You're not going to hear about, well, what did the angel say I'm going to get? It's not about that. It's about the attitude of what is a human being doing on the planet that once they are done with the planet, they will be taking up in their soul and spirit the elements of the spiritual realm. And that's where the true test is involved. We have a great conflict on the planet because, indeed, as long as we're in the body, we have to consider how to balance our wants and desires and aspirations with the spiritual realm without putting the aspirations and desires first.
Yeah, and everybody's going to have their own individual map of how an ideal life can be lived on the planet. You know, some people are going to be required to sacrifice more than others in certain ways. Some people are going to have more of a chance towards that ultimate transcendence in a lifetime. So how each person is able to live, I think Audrey Hepburn, I mean, didn't she work overseas and things like that after her career?
Yeah,
and she gave up completely, you know, being in the limelight.
A lot of people do that. And yes, and that's
you know, she was able,
and that's vital.
Right, and she was able to, you know, have an illustrious career as someone who was in the public eye and, you know, enjoyed riches and
there's a certain
wealth and creativity, but then, you know, turned her life over in that regard.
There's a certain balance, but when we're talking, the topic of the show is what are we hearing? When do we know we're hearing an angel? And when you know, the attitude of hearing an angel is not the tip of our ego. Our egos can talk to us in such a way that our inner voice may sound like it's angelic, when really we're just hearing our higher self speaking along earthly terms. So a lot of times when readers or just everyday common people think they're hearing an angel, they're actually hearing their higher self speaking. And that may involve the soul content, S-O-U-L, of the individual, which involves past life energies and aspirations and such. There isn't anything wrong with that. The only problem is that that's not necessarily coming from an angelic source.
Right.
So to manifest what you want on the planet is not necessarily the dialogue of an angel.
Right. And the reason I the reason I mentioned Audrey Hepburn is because we're talking about, you know, sacrifice on certain levels and what is the fact that not everybody has to sacrifice and live as a monk to transcend. And, you know, she may have transcended. I don't know if she did or not, but, you know, this is just examples of people who have enjoyed the world as well as.
Well, part of the form of sacrifice was to appease a god or god or a god. And so this would be retribution, whatever it might be, that, in other words, you must sacrifice your life in order to show your devotion. Literally speaking, though, I mean, even Abraham was compelled to sacrifice his son,
right?
But then the angel stopped him. It wasn't his ego that stopped him. It was an angel directed by God, according to the lore of the Bible. The element here is not that you literally have to die for God, but that you understand the spiritual intensity of your connection to God, and that God, the body is dust to dust, but the soul and the spirit belong to God. So what it really means in life is that we're always constantly aware that our soul and our spirit belongs to God, and our body is going to go back to the earth. So when one makes a sacrifice of spirit, a body over spirit. And they sacrifice their body for the sake of a spiritual principle or a compassionate principle. Really what we're talking about is the energy of belief. And that energy of belief is what's most predominant in the viewpoint of what a true sacrifice is. So it isn't that, you know, well, you know, we're going to throw ourselves into a volcano or we're going to sacrifice this or that. Those were the pagan beliefs. And to some extent, there was some form of sacrifice in biblical lore with animals and such. But the idea is that sacrifice is the shedding of blood. It's the taking of the physicality. And the taking of blood and the taking of physicality is the origin of that is produced in the attitude of sin, that when we supposedly became sinful in the garden, then our bodies became physical. And when our bodies became physical, there was a division from God.
Right, and
because
then
there
death.
Was a disobedience. So then we have to reform the idea of what is obedience
right.
to God. And it got into the way of shedding of blood or sacrificing of the physicality of life over the pleasures that are derived from such things. So when we talk about angelic forms of energy, we're really talking about pure vibration. It's the height of emotion that is above and beyond any material, physical thing we can attain on the planet. In fact, we do spirituality a disservice by equating angels with earthly wealth. We tend to think that heaven is a place of merchandise. It's a place of physical destination.
And oftentimes when people are supposedly conversing with spirits that have passed or souls that have passed, they're talking about, you know, the person in quote unquote heaven, you know, holding a dog or doing things, you know, making soup. I mean, this is not how things work on the astral plane. I mean, people don't do earthly activity.
No, that's just basically human pleasure principle. It's,
you know,
it's,
we don't
it's
go
our
mimic
fairy tales that's how it's going to be when we get up there, when it isn't like that at all. But anyways, in conclusion, we're going to get to our callers now. But the energy of hearing an angel will have a totally different vibration and a direct communication to things that are more of the spirit than of the body. And that's one firm indication that at least on the first page, you're hearing an angel.
Okay. And so we can get back to this in a little bit, but let's bring on a caller here. 864. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. We have just a listener.
Okay.
We lost our other caller. Because I think they might have gotten impatient with our discussion, or maybe they had somewhere else to go. So we can continue, Neil. Right now we're
waiting for a call.
Yeah.
That's fine. So in you know because this will be if we can you can someone
this is good for the archives.
So how do we know? First of all, how do we know that an angel has approached us? First of all, an angel approaching us isn't always elected by us. We can't just calling on an angel. That doesn't mean
right.
it's a guarantee you're going to get an angel. Sometimes angels come when you're not even prepared for it. So an angel can come and impact a person's life when they're least expecting. That's the first thing.
Right. And I think the sound, I mean, if an angel is communicating vibrationally through a human being, unless you're very advanced, you're not going to hear this in a form of a language. You know, you have to be very advanced unless they are manifesting in that way. Like, what did we talk about? You know, an angel appearing to Mary, for instance. Generally, you know, if people are hearing a dialogue in their brains, I would liken that more to be coming from the mind than an actual angel.
Well, yeah, I mean, and referring to that, angels in past content, angels usually came to deliver God's plan.
Right.
An angel didn't come down and say, hey, you're going to win the lottery.
Right, or even to give therapy and say, well, you know, the time is not now for this relationship. Just wait. I mean,
that's not
no.
No, angels don't really involve themselves
in human
kind
affairs,
of
exactly.
Unless it's directed to God's plan and there's a general higher purpose to it. Now, we're, you know, even in the news today, they're talking about the doomsday. The approach to doomsday, we're, 30 seconds away or whatever.
30 seconds closer to doomsday because of what's recently
happening. The idea of doomsday, is that a man-made event according to nuclear weapons? Or is that something that was divinely proposed by God in terms of his construction of the world and thereby destruction, ultimately? We're talking about a general plan of energy. And when we have these plans of energy, and angels are not of body substance, they are directly of spiritual substance. There's nothing about the body or the soul in energy-wise in an angel. It's all about the content of spirit. So when the content of spirit by angel, they have no direct link to the body or the soul. That's not where they're coming from. They're coming from the direct spiritual essence of God. And in that essence, as far as the earth is concerned, yes, there is a design. there is a structure, and there is a plot line. So the plot line of an angel's visitation on the coming upon the earth is going to be according to God's plan, not according to man or woman's plan. So in that respect, usually angels appear when there is an important event or when something is in the line of action in terms of the plot development of the history of the world and the, an ultimate future of the world. These are very, very sacred things that are going on. And when angels just don't come to the planet, they're directed by God to come to the planet. So they just don't hop around and, you know, like taxi drivers waiting for to pick somebody up. There's a direct intervention that is going on that is absolutely sacred.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this a little bit at the beginning of the show and personal angels. That's getting a little bit off our topic, but that's, you know, exactly what I was referring to on that show. I mean, yes, people can have angels assigned to them, but generally, you know, we're not talking about angels assigned so you can, you know, get that job or, cope emotionally through whatever hardship you're going through on an earthly plane.
The personal angel syndrome, if you will.
Personal angel syndrome. I don't know if it would be a syndrome. It's
probably
a blessing, but, you know.
In some respects it is, because I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We love to think that we have personal angels.
Right.
And we love to think that there's a system for it, that there's some kind of construction where we have a personal
angel. And we do have personal guides. That's true.
We have personal
guides. Each of us have guides. Those are not angels, though.
But whenever if an angel does interact with us, it is personal. There is a personal energy to it. And sometimes an angel can be assigned to a human being if that human being's design on the earth is
of a higher essence, right.
Is of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a personal angel that is directing the human being to follow through on God's plan. So when we tend to want to romanticize the idea, and it's been in books and literature and all kinds of things that we can have a personal angel. And in some respects, I suppose that could be true, but we have it's very hard to really define what a personal angel is if you're stepping outside of the ego, because most of us tend to think of personal angels as being personally assigned to us to take care of our ego, our presentation and activation on the earth on a personal level, when really that's not the case. Now, there are lower caste angels that will interact with people, but the purity of those angels is of a different rank and file. It's like the difference between a police officer and the attorney general. There's a whole different attitude about what rank there is. And surely...
give an example, Neil, of what you're talking about. I mean, a lower ranked angel interacting with...
Well, a lower rank... There are entities that are purely spiritual
that don't really interact with human beings unless there's a real divine connection.
Well, there is a divine connection therein, but an angel can come in and for instance help a person, save a person from falling from a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
They can interact. They can shift things. There are certain I don't know if I would call them. They're of a special quality, and sometimes an angel will interact. So for those of you who are listening to the show, if you say, well, you know, I have a personal angel, we're not suggesting that that's not true and that just is a guide. In fact, guides don't usually interact in a person's life
directly
as an angel will.
Right, because it's a behind-the-scenes kind of guiding.
Yeah. So to kind of put the record straight, there are personal angels that are involved in a person's life, but even then those personal angels don't necessarily group with a human being in order to get them something. It's usually a divine intervention, and it can be on a personal level. Somebody not falling from a bridge and they go, well, an angel saved me. That may have anything to do with God's plan of the earth. So it becomes personal. So there is this special, unique quality that some angels have with human beings that are directly connected to that human being's life per se and not the world at large. So we do want to correct ourselves there a little bit.
Okay, so angels can come in and intervene in situations where there may be a loss of life or a serious thing occurring. But generally, you know, if we talk about angels interacting with human beings, they're going to be drawn to a very positive vibration too if they come in. So, you know, angels aren't necessarily going to flank around people who are distressed or distraught or near suicide, because unless there's some kind of divine intervention in that regard. But they don't. Angels don't, you know, they don't hang around negative energy.
Well, it all depends. There's dark angels and there's
right. But I mean, when we're talking about a positive angel.
But when we talk about angels too, we're also talking about the element of surprise. And even in the plot of the Bible, there are surprises. Even God seems to be surprised when he finds out about in the lore about Adam and Eve. So the element of surprise and unexpected events, supposedly, can take place where an angels can slip in and surely interact with human beings on a miraculous level.
Let's bring on a caller, Neil. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but want to get them while they're here. 916, hello.
Hello, this is Nancy, and I'm 8251.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
My question is actually trying to get some feedback of an encounter that I had in my late teens. And since your subject is about angels or guides, I was drifting off to sleep, and all of a sudden I found myself, I guess, astral body in the next room. And I had an encounter with a light being, I would say female essence, and it was kind of like flowing golden white light around this being. And I got a telepathic message. It wasn't like they were talking outright, but I got a telepathic message. Actually, it was from my mother, that she was loved. Please tell your mother that she is loved. She needs that, and let her know that she is loved. And then all of a sudden I found myself down on my knees. I'm sure it was in my astral body still, and in prayer form. And I was thanking this being for everything. And I ended up back in my body in the next room. And I actually thought, since this is my first encounter that I ever had like that, I thought I had died. I really did, because I never had an experience like that before. And so I quickly got dressed because, you know, I was sleeping. I quickly got dressed and went outside and wanted to touch people to make sure I was still alive. Just because.
Right.
I mean, later, I've had other experiences and I don't feel that way anymore. But I mean, really, it kind of scared me. But
When was this? What, do you know what year? Did you? I don't know if you told us already, but.
In my late teens, and I can't really, I think I was about 18 or 19.
18 or 19, and your mother was alive then.
Living.
Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah, my mother was alive, yeah, but she never felt love from her mother. And it was like a message to tell her that she was loved. And I did tell my mother was always scared of this. I had kind of experiences, not like this, but I always believed in this when I was a child. And she was scared, never tell her anything like that. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I did tell her about the encounter, and she says, no, I don't believe it. And it scares her. But then a week later, she said that, believe it or not, she had an encounter that she was touched and somebody held her hand.
Oh, and, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
She's one, it's her 1-8 too, 18 or 19, first and last.
Right. You know, Nancy, we're basically, when we're talking about angels and spirits and the messages they give, they come from the spirit. So this message from the spirit was regarding the word love. You know, it didn't say, tell your mother she's going to win the lottery, tell your mother she's going to be taken care of in her home. So the message coming from this angel, possibly an angel, was delivered with a message of love, which is one of the fruits of the spirit. You being pulled out of your body why are we sometimes pulled out of our body to hear an angel speak? Because essentially, the body is offensive to an angel, because the body carries the corruption, the sin, the life and death. It's not eternal. So one has to be pulled out of the body to go into a sacred space. And in that sacred space, the astral body leaves the physical body, and thereby the astral body is more presentable and agreeable to the presence of an angel, whereby the astral body can receive the message of love without getting the ego involved. And then the purity of that communication can be delivered to either the person being addressed or someone that it's meant to be addressed to. And then thereby that energy is carried forth, and your mother's being afraid. Well, it's kind of healthy to have fear of the Lord. I mean, that's a sort of healthy attitude that we have. So her fear is sort of misplaced, but there's a certain attitude about having reverence for the Lord and that kind of thing, which is healthy as well. So the energy that was delivered to you and that link was meant to be carried forth to your mother, whereby in a way that wouldn't be fearful to her, she would be touched in kind by the angel, and the message would be relayed and reinforced that way as well. So really what you're dealing with was, yes, you left your body, left the room you were in, you went into the other room, which was a sacred space at the time, and yes, you had a connection, and the delivery of the word was love. And these are all fruits of the spirit.
Oh, yeah. I was curious what the being was, if it was a guide, an angel. If it was just a relative, it was a light. I mean, it was just such a beautiful, you know, all I could think of was like a fountain of gold and white.
That's angelic energy. That abundance, that dramatic display you were seeing with your third eye via the eye of the soul and the spirit, that's the difference between looking at a fountain and looking at a waterfall. They're both running water, but one is not the same as the other. You were looking at angelic energy in that regard.
Oh, that's what I was curious about. Thank you so much for
you're welcome,
that.
Okay, thank you. And you know what I was saying, Neil?
I want to hear your point.
Well, when I asked her about her age at the time, she said 18. And in fact, that's her omega and alpha in her birth date, going backwards. So, you know, a transcended experience from karma to transcendence. I mean, it's kind of coded there that she might have some kind of transcendent experience moving from the 1 to the 8 or 8 to the 1.
Yeah, you know, 18 is a
sacred number, the 9
right. Factor. I don't know if this encounter had so much to do with age or numerical birth date value as it did with the essence and the communication of having a message delivered from a higher source. There might have been something in the mother's soul that was needing to be uplifted.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to get the mother's birth date too, and see what their connection was. But she's gone. Nancy is gone. So let's bring on our next call.
Okay.
All right. Hi, 267.
Hi.
Who's this?
Donna.
Donna?
Yes.
Hi, Donna.
Hello.
And your birth date?
4/21/62.
Okay, and your location?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I'm Pennsylvania? Okay, how are you, Donna?
Yeah. Oh, I'm okay. I said, yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right? Okay.
Okay, what's your question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I just wanted to know something about, is there anything in my love life that you see?
Love life.
Love life. Let's see what we got here.
Love life.
Is there anything
in your love life?
Well, you're in your love life. I mean, you're asking the question. So first of all, let's say that you're in it, inquiring about it. So, but you're saying, is there anything in it? In
She's
other words, is
55.
There any content in your love life? You're 53 now.
53? I'm not doing this.
And
right.
you had a change, Donna, at the age of 25.
She's going to know. She's not 53. She's 54.
She's
going to be 55.
She was born 62.
Yeah, she's going to be. You're going to be 55, Donna?
Oh, 54, yeah.
Yes, I'm going to be 55, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 54. Okay. What happened 62, 72, 82? What happened in 1987 with you?
1987, I had my daughter in 85. I broke up. Me and my first husband split up, and
okay, so we had a breakup.
Yes, and I got involved with my second husband, which we just split up about six and a half months ago.
Okay.
Okay. 6 months ago. Uh-huh. Well, what you've got is this. First of all, you have an element of two sixes. The first six is in your 4-2. That's an accumulation of six. The second six is in your year. Now, the attitude of the six, if you will, also has a combination of two in it, which is the sexual energy in the relationship marriage chakra. So you having two marriages, one of which has just broken up 6.5 months ago, is sort of connected here, you know, Kristen, here it's connected deliberately to the code of the birth date. So, and we're still talking about earthly energy. So Donna's asking about what's going to be in her love life, and is there a possibility that she's going to have a third intense relationship? Well, first of all, let's say you will. You're going to be having a third intense relationship if we consider the first two marriages as part of that sequence. Don't forget, you're born, the first two numbers are 4 and 2.
But she's born the 21st, 2 and 1.
Yes. And as well as that, the first and last numbers are
four and two
in the whole birth
right.
date, master number 7. So you're going to have another relationship's probably going to come up in about within 8 months.
Okay.
And
okay,
you'll be, huh?
I know. I was just saying, I know that sounds crazy. Okay. I was married once, married twice. I wanted to know am I going to have a relationship that's just real, no worries, no, sadness and breakups, and am I going to connect with somebody the way a real relationship is supposed to? I mean, I know what that's like through life experiences. I'm just wondering, am I ever going to have that with someone that, you know, I'm just really connected with? Is it over for me?
Did you feel with your other relationships that there wasn't that true connection, Donna?
Yes, I did, but things happen that at first it seems like I give my all, my everything, and then they tend to, the first one was very abusive. That was a blessing to get rid of that. I was young, very young. The second one, he drank, you know, and cheated and everything, and then he came back and then just left again. It was good for a while, but then I started getting distant because I'm just like, I just want something that's real. I was just wondering if that's ever going to happen or if it's just over for me.
Did you think this 8 months, well, you see a relationship coming in, but you see it being a healthy relationship?
Well, Donna, look, let me explain something. Your master number is 7. That's a master number. It's made up of 25. When we look at the individual numbers in the record of your birth, 4-2-1-6-2, forget about the 19, you're lacking, nothing is as high as a 7.
But
your
she has a broken
six.
7, 4-2-1.
That's right. You have a broken seven in your 421. So what it means is that there's a certain karma you have that's lacking the spiritual essence on the planet of what you're really seeking.
But she is a seven. I mean, that's,
she is a seven.
But the
journey of her life on the
planet is
going to be
shy
of
the
seventh energy
essence. Yeah, because of the 42162. There's no seven or anything there.
After having said that, you're born in 62. Now, that's an eight. And that transcends the seven by 1 point. So, and it ends on a two factor, which is relationship. So if you're to ask us as psychics, readers, is there a possibility that on this planet I can have a relationship that's abundant, nourishing, and the whole shebang there? The answer would be yes. So you're not inclined to have to experience a lack of pure love on the planet in a satisfying relationship context before you die. That's not written. What is written is that it's going to take a certain journey in your life. I would say that one thing, did you want to say something?
No, I after you.
I would say that one thing you have to do, Donna, is look very carefully at your, on a psychological level, you need to look very carefully at your mother's history and the agenda that she put forth. Yeah. So you're validating that. We don't need to go into detail because there seems to be some points we're hitting on. And those, whatever you've incorporated, whatever you've internalized, whatever you've learned from your mother, whatever legacy, whatever it may be, that is something very important that you must transcend, because that's part of your karmic journey too, is to get beyond her turmoil and her lack of pleasure in life and her complaints. If you can get beyond that and extract yourself from that within your own internal structure, you'll be doing a service to your higher self and possibly experiencing a human being that could potentially come in with that fulfilling love factor.
Right. You were saying 8 months, Neil, but also she's going through, coming up on a cycle of seven at 56.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a year away from April.
Yeah.
So maybe in that window.
Yeah. Yeah, that could very well be. So the question you're asking is it possible? And we're saying yes. And it could be within 8 months. But do some work if we hit some notes about your
right,
mother
on,
energy.
On a psychological level.
Yeah.
On a psychological level. Does that help, Donna?
Okay. So do you think that my relationships didn't work out because of it? Is it like my fault?
No, that's definitely not your fault. But if there's inner work to be done, then that's what you can do moving forward in this new relationship. But, you know, I mean,
your relationships
people,
didn't work
karma.
Out because of karma, Donna. The karma content of your energy comprised the activity within the marriage.
And I mean, even code-wise, I mean, that's heart relationship and foundation. So that seven is broken up in those themes. So there's problems in that area, obviously, on a karmic level.
Yeah.
A past
you
life.
Got, you
basis.
Know, to understand the depth of one's life, you really have to broaden your mind and think, you know, past lives, where my soul has been, what did I bring into the earth? These are the elements that you have to analyze before you just say, well, it was my fault. It's more complicated than that. So I wouldn't go on that context of thought, that it was your fault.
Yeah, because that's not
going to
help you at all moving forward. That's like a blame situation, a self-blame, which is not productive, you know?
Right, because they were the ones, they had cheated, and like I was always the one, the pleaser and all that stuff. And
right, because you're
a seven.
Because you're a seven, so that's a high, you know, that seventh energy is one that is, you know, is involved in sacrifice and helping others. I mean, it's a service energy, but also those conflicts were brought in from past life. So what the content of your past life, I mean, we don't have time to go into that today, but that's, you know, that's the karma of what you're experiencing this life due to relationships. But with this information, possibly you might have a more fruitful relationship moving forward if you're able to do some deeper work on yourself.
Oh, okay. Like, what do you mean? Like, just, I don't know what kind of work.
Well,
I know
if there are some issues, Donna, from your childhood, your relationship with your mother, cleaning that energy on some level. I mean, we don't mean, you know, spending years in therapy trying to resolve it, but getting rid of that energy. You know, you may want to call after the show, and it's possible that this, something like this, could be cleared up in a reading or two. What do you think, Neil?
It's possible, Donna. I mean, that's your, up to you in terms of delving deeper into the exploration.
Yeah, we can't really
go
into that on the radio show, unfortunately, because we have another call we've got to get
to. Basically, it's finding parts in your psyche that are healthy, not unhealthy, and becoming more of a healthy human being in terms of how you see yourself is what's very important, and getting rid of all the skeletons in the closet that would tell you that you deserve to not be happy, or you deserve to take on burdens and all this kind of stuff. Self-blame sometimes comes from other being first blamed by others for something you don't really deserve to be blamed for. Mm-hmm. And then you incorporate it within yourself, and you have no idea just how activated it is within your lifetime. So it's about cleaning up your attitude. It's really a self-esteem program, Donna, that we're encouraging.
Oh, okay.
In this program. And that helps.
Hopefully that helps, Donna. We do have to move on to our next caller, but you're always welcome to call the show again or call.
Okay. I could call you for a reading. Do you have a number or?
Yeah, it's on our Blog Talk Radio website. It's also on Facebook, I think, on your page, but it's 562-596-7818. But if I said it too fast, you can always go onto the Blog Talk Radio site and get the number too.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, take care. Okay, we have another caller who is back. They were here earlier and they came back. Hi, who's this?
Hi, how are you? It's Rosemaria.
Oh,
hi. I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
No, you haven't. 1230-174, right?
Right. Oh, you remembered.
I did. 2810-1. Yeah, some of the birth dates I remember and some I don't. So,
but you're yeah, one I don't of them. Know how you remember those birth dates. It's impressive.
Rosemaria, so what's your question?
Whatever I guys are picking up that's coming in positively for work. I just did a couple settings for a resume, so I was wondering which one I'm going to get or one of them is coming in soon, I hope.
Okay. All right. Resumes? Do you have anything to say?
For resumes for work?
What kind of work are you trying to get?
IT, IS.
Okay.
Security.
Teach.
IT, no, internet technology.
Well, internet technology. Well, what I'm getting, first of all, I want to go back to August of 2016. What was happening in August of 2016 in regard to your job situation?
Not much. I left for Europe in October for a job, and it didn't work out my way. They said I had a job, but they didn't.
You left in October? You mean once August was through, you left in October of that year?
Right.
And then in October of that year, you had a temporary job, which you don't have right now, or?
Right.
You're bouncing a little bit. You're bouncing a little bit. Rosemaria, you have you have two siblings.
One.
Then there's two siblings altogether. Altogether two siblings.
Right.
And is your other sibling currently working?
Yes.
And what kind of work does that sibling do?
Medical.
Okay, so has that person been in that field for at least 14 years, at least?
Schooling.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Schooling.
Going on 14?
There's a lot of metallic. Do you hear that metallic sound? I don't know. Are you what?
I took care of it.
Hearing
it's,
my voice
so
back. Do you have a? Do you have our show on in the background? Because I'm hearing myself back.
Yeah, with the other phone on. Sorry about that. Did you do it 14 years? About that, yeah.
About 14 years.
Okay, so you're having gone that validation, you're about getting ready to get a job. Now, it might be about 2 weeks away. And are you still, where are you located right now?
I'm back in the U.S. right now.
Okay,
she's been overseas. You don't probably remember.
In a nutshell,
Spain or something.
Hmm. In a nutshell, in about 2 weeks. That's the best approach. And there's going to be a male, M-A-L-E figure that will be involved in you obtaining a job. Maybe that's the one who hires you. Are you currently in discussion with any male person in regard to a job?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, and does it seem promising?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where we are right now. We're going to leave you on that note, on a psychic level.
Psychic note.
Yeah, psychic note.
It's not a musical note.
And that might be the one that may be working for you within 2 weeks.
And do check in with us in a couple weeks, Rosa Maria, so we know how the energy works. Because a lot of times people, you know, get these things and then they don't follow up. We like to hear that the energy has worked on behalf of the people that we're talking to. Okay?
Cool. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye. All right, 646 is our final caller for the day. 646.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, how are you? How's it going?
Hey. Good. How are you? Who's this?
I'm doing good. My name is Carrie, and I'm calling from New York City.
Okay. And Carrie, can you spell your name for us? I mean,
it's T-E-R-R-A. I-E.
I-E, yeah, there's a lot of variations, so I wanted to make sure we got it right. Okay, so you're in New York City, and go ahead with your question or your comment.
Okay, I have a quick question. I would like to know what my guides want me to know about a position that I just applied for with a temp agency. I'm not interested in, I just would like to know, will I be selected as a candidate to interview for a position at a university?
Okay, Terry, can we get your birth date, please? Your full birth date. Month and year.
It's November 12th, 1975.
Okay, we're just going to do some quick numerology here. 3, 4, 5, 15, 27, 9. And you're all 41 years old, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're wondering what the spirit realm has to say about your job at the temp agency? Go ahead.
I just wanted to know if my resume is going to be selected for a job interview, because what I'm doing now, even if it's not, I'm going to be doing some job prepping with the coach starting this weekend so that I can get prepared for any interview that may come my way.
Okay, what kind of work are you? Do you want me to ask that or yet? What kind of work are you doing?
It's doing temp work as an executive assistant.
Oh, okay.
So I've been working as an administrative assistant for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I am looking for a permanent home now, but in order to get my foot into the door, I'm going to have to temp.
Okay.
Okay, Terry. Well, energy-wise, being a system,
executive
assistant, there isn't anything that I'm getting that's going to block that in pure detail. I'm not getting any immediate answer that you're going to be blocked. So, first of all, there's that to consider. Two, were you an assistant on some level for at least 3 years throughout your life?
Of course, yes. I have, over 5 years experience.
You didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
No, Neil didn't, for some reason it didn't compute with him, but you already said that. But go ahead.
Okay. So
5 years.
And so I think I'm feeling there's a little bit of competition involved in this. Throughout these resumes that you're handling, so there are other people too that are qualified that are eagerly looking for a job. The question is, are you going to get it? Let me ask you something. Where in your life, anywhere in your life with a common name, I don't care how, it's a common name and I don't care where you have to go to find it, but the name is either Susan or Sal.
Yeah, Susan.
Susan, who's it?
She was one of the office managers for a company that I worked for when I actually first started doing executive assistant work.
In the line of career. So she's involved in your job.
So, you know, we could cautiously say that you're in good standing to get this job. We're dealing with a few illusions here, psychically speaking, that you're confirming. But it looks good. If you don't, let's say that you're going to get this job. If you don't get this job, I think you're going to be having a job in February anyways. Before February is done, you'll have landed a position anyway. So I'm not.
Okay.
How lucrative is executive assistant? I mean, you're in New York City. I guess if you're working for like a corporation, you can make pretty good money. But for like a university, what kind of salary range?
Salary range right now, for assisting-wise, it's 25 an hour, 20 to 25 an hour, and salary range starts at 55.
55, okay.
But
say, I mean, can't some executive assistants make like close to $100,000 a year, depending on where they're working?
Exactly, and that's the kind of executive assistant that I can definitely want to go in that lane. That's what I prefer.
Oh, does it take time to get there or a certain level of experience?
Actually, you know what? It really all depends on the job, number one. And number two, I think it all depends on the computer experience. Currently, I'm enrolled in a Microsoft Advanced class. So I'm just kind of brushing up on all of my personal development skills to become a better candidate.
Okay. Terry, do we have 1 minute left?
We have 1 minute left, actually.
Terry, who in your family has a hip problem, a problem with their hip?
It's my mother.
Okay.
So,
I mean, why would you get, I mean, this is exactly psychic. Why would you get hip problems?
I'm trying to be hip.
No, but I just, want to illustrate the point that this has nothing to do with the conversation, but the mother, in fact, does have a hip problem. So
again, it's another, cautiously speaking, it's another validation that you're going to be working in February. Let's try to make it happen for this job. The running seems to be pretty good. I do feel competition around it. But so we're going to say first this job, but if not, you're going to be having a job in February, I predict. That's our prediction here.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so I'm also working with the career coach on revising my resume because it needs to be revamped badly. So the first resume that I submitted, I'm not too sure what's going to happen, but I know the second resume that I submitted, I'm quite sure people will be interested in it.
That will pull you into an interview, and then your interview level speaking will be very good. So listen carefully. When you're being spoken to, and show them you have very good listening skills, and nod a lot, like you're nodding your head up and down, yes and yes, yes. Do a lot of nodding and a lot of good listening skills in the interview.
And Terry, we're getting our minute warning. We're actually beyond that, so we have to close the show. But hopefully that helps, and let us know how it progresses. We also invite you to join us on Facebook. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, and you can follow us here too.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Terry. All right, we are back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and that's our show for today. Have a great weekend and rest of your week, everyone. Bye-bye.